News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Helen McEntee is with us. She's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Defence. And this morning she is launching a new maritime strategy entailing a plan for infrastructure in respect of naval bases, investment in the naval service and a shift in our approach to naval strategy. Can I start there, Minister? It strikes me in looking at the highlights of the strategy thus far that what we are seeing is a significant shift in strategic intent, that we are moving from a naval service whose job it was to interdict criminals and to enforce fisheries to a naval service that is primarily focused on security and defence.
Well, good morning, Anton. Hi. Well, look, this is the first maritime security strategy of its kind, and security, obviously, in the title sets out what exactly we're trying to do here. This is about securing our maritime domain. And for those who aren't aware, so our maritime domain is 7 times the size of our landmass. So we have a huge maritime domain. It is really important, given the changing world we live in, given the changing types of threats, that we know exactly what is happening above water and below water, that we're working closely with our colleagues, our partners, be it in the UK, the Nordic countries, across the Atlantic, in making sure that we are working together to identify these threats, to respond to them, that we're protecting so much of the critical infrastructure that lies below our waters. We know that obviously from an Irish perspective, many of the cables that cross the Atlantic, they come through Ireland, they come through our space. How do we protect them? So this strategy focuses on making sure we're very clear what's happening in all of our space, that we're working more closely with colleagues and partners, that we're able to expand and support the work of the naval services, and that we're doing so in a more permanent and a more structured way than before.
That would be all well and good if we were starting from a relatively high base, but we are, by comparison to other EU member states that have much smaller maritime domains to patrol, we are very small and very lightly armed by comparison, and we barely have the personnel to man the equipment we already have. So even getting to base level is a challenge, isn't it?
Well, can I say that we actually have a lot more being done than perhaps people realise? And, you know, I think we're doing a disservice when we talk about the fact that, you know, we don't have enough personnel, we don't have enough work being done, we're not engaging. Yes, we need to do more.
But do we have enough personnel in your view?
No, we don't. No, but we're not starting from the low base that I think people think we are. I mean, we have a huge amount of work that's already been done in working with international partners. So the strategy focuses on how we can do more, how we can engage more, how we can become part of more programmes that are operating already. But we are already involved in different programmes. We are already working with colleagues in sharing information, in sharing intelligence.
But can we currently crew all of our own vessels? Simple things like that.
Yes, we can. So, I mean, we have 8 vessels at the moment, and at any given time there are generally 4 of them that are out. So there are 4 of them that are patrolling, there are 4 of them that are working
because
together.
That is the strategic choice, or because we don't have the crew to get more of them out?
No, so the 4 that are out, they're patrolling, they're doing the job that they need to do, and they're working very well. And you've seen in the past, you know, for example, the MV Matthews, where they've worked closely with An Garda Síochána, where they've been involved in operations and where they've been hugely successful, in particular when it comes to drug seizure and other issues. But they're also patrolling our seas. They're also protecting what is happening out in our maritime domain. At any given time, the vessels themselves, they're in for repair. They have upgrades. And so this is what's happening. It's not that they don't
have
those.
Half of them?
Yes, that's the way, that's generally how it works. So at the moment you have 2 of the LE ships that are in, I think it's LE Roisin and Neve, they all have different names. They are in, they're getting upgrades at different stages in their life cycle. They have to go through these processes. So you have half of them that are at sea, you have half of them going through different processes. I'm not saying our overall personnel numbers are where they need to be. We have about 807 at the moment. That's not the ultimate strength that we want to get to. But what we saw last year...
What do you want to get to?
So the ultimate figure is just under 1,100. So we have a bit of a way to go. It's about 75% of where we need to be. We saw an increase in our numbers last year, and now the focus is to make sure that those numbers can continue to increase. So as long as well as the strategy that I'm launching today, which I suppose has been developed with the Defence Forces, but also with the consultation and support of government agencies, of government departments and also our public, this will complement and support the work of a new naval regeneration strategy that's
now,
been worked
on
at
deliver
the moment
that? Because
by the Defence Force.
It is one thing to say we are going to add, 40% to our current contingent of personnel. That is assuming that it is an easy recruitment market. But the Defence Forces, more and more, are in competition with the private sector. So where do you get all these recruits from?
Well, if I told you there was 16,500 people applied to the Defence Forces last year, that just gives you an indication of how many people are applying. Now, you're correct. There's obviously a market out there. I was in the Department of Justice previously. You know, you're trying to encourage people to work in all different parts of our economy and our sector. And you're competing with the private sector as well. Increasingly, we need and we want to attract more people who are coming in from other industries and sectors, be it cybersecurity, be it with experience already. And so there's direct entry routes that we're developing within the Defence Forces, including the Naval Service. But also, I believe if we want to get to those ultimate figures, not just in the Naval Service, but overall, we need to focus more on civilianisation. And that body of work has been done at the moment as well. And by the summer, I will have a civilianisation strategy to go with a new workforce plan. So, I mean, look, personnel is one thing, and we need to make sure that if we want to implement these strategies and plans, that we have the people to do it. But we also need to make sure that we have a good implementation plan in place. And so the strategy today is supported by a plan for the next year. And it's my intention towards the end of this year that we take stock.
Okay.
What have we done? What do we need to do? And that every year we're investing more, we're focusing on where we need to go and making sure that it's implemented.
One of the main strategic points you have within the strategy is to strengthen regional partnerships and increase international cooperation. Does that mean that we are going to see Irish Naval Service members serving on UK, French, Danish naval vessels?
No, not necessarily. But what it may mean is that if we're joining particular programs, so one that's mentioned often is JEF. This is essentially a coalition of countries from the UK, the Nordics, Baltics, Iceland, that work together at the moment in identifying threats and sharing intelligence and, you know, training and bringing together ways in which to respond to new and emerging threats. That may involve then, you know, our liaison officers or our Defence Force members engaging with those countries, be it on missions or be it on training programmes, on their vessels, on their ships. But this is not a situation where we're going to have members join other Defence Forces on specific missions.
That does mean that we're going to have Irish Naval Service members on foreign vessels.
So it happens already. So we're already part of various different programmes within the EU, and some of those programmes may be training programmes. So yes, you would have members of Defence Forces or naval personnel on other ships if it's a training mission and it's specific to our seas, it's specific to our maritime security. So what we're talking about is doing more of that. So there's a lot that's already happening. It's about how can we do more? How can we cooperate more? You know, when it comes to NATO, how do we engage more with NATO? We're not members, but it's really important that we are sharing our information, that we are working with them, and that they see themselves as well, that we are trusted partners and that we want to do more in this space.
How are you going to pay for all of this, and how much is it going to cost? Because if we're seeing a 40% increase in the number of personnel, if we're seeing sonar, if we're seeing long-range radar, if we're seeing a multi-role combat vessel or maybe more than one of those bought, we are into the billions, are we not?
Well, we are. I mean, this is going to cost money, but what we've seen just in the last couple of months, I launched a new capital plan, which is a plan that increases our overall spending in defence by 55%. That's been complemented by a current plan, so a yearly budget that's increased by about 40% over the last number of years. So that is all with the intention of increasing the number of personnel we have, directly investing, whether it's in our ships, whether it's in our radar, whether it's in sonar, counter-drone technology, whether it's in personnel or equipment for.
But do you have a total quantum of what this is all going to cost?
So the budget that we have at the moment is 1.7 billion euro. My intention is that we increase that, and where we can get access to,
and that's across
funding,
the totality of the strategy or per annum?
That's across the totality of the Defence Forces. So we will need more money. That's absolutely certain. But my priority has been very clear. The first is to make sure that we have a full, complete radar picture. So that's making sure on land, sea and in air, we have a complete picture of what's happening in our skies. As well as that, accompanying that is our sonar technology, which particularly for the maritime security is important. And that's included, and that will be progressed at the early stages of the capital plan. But look, our plans, we review them. We, you know, if there's more that's needed, certainly I'll be making sure that we are ready and that we are able to spend what money is available to us.
Minister, thank you. Before I let you go, the Taoiseach, of course, today is going to make an apology to the survivors of institutional abuse. It is seen as a very significant moment for the survivors. Do you regard it as significant, and do you regard it as sufficient?
Yeah, look, I really welcome this today, and I think it is necessary. I, in my time as Minister for Education last year, had an opportunity to meet with some of the survivors who have gotten us to this point, and I want to acknowledge them and acknowledge what they have gone through, but what they have done on behalf of so many others as well, and what happened to so many young people in institutions that they were put into through no fault of their own was really appalling. And I'm not sure any of us can imagine in our lifetime being treated in the way that they were. And so I think today is an acknowledgement of what happened to them, that it was not their fault, that it shouldn't have happened, and that we have to do everything in our power to ensure that nothing like this could ever happen to any other child or young person or family again. This has caused huge intergenerational trauma for so many people, and I think today is an important day. And again, I just want to acknowledge in particular the individuals who I know have gotten us to this point and who have done a huge amount on behalf of themselves, but for so many others as well.
Minister, thank you very much. That is the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Defence, Helen McEntee.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.